you are one of us. Your passion is the world of mountain biking, from enduro to gravel races and everything in between. This is Insider MTB, the podcast that takes you behind the handlebars, into the dirt, and behind the scenes of the mountain biking world. And now your host, Austin White.
Sponsor Nitro. All right, we're going to try this one again, episode 7. Hopefully we do it right this time, going live. I think I solved all the technical issues. Not 100% sure, but we got to iron out some shit before Sea Otter so I don't fuck it up anymore. Today I'm joined with Spencer and Ty Katie, digging in to some World Cup and Brazil this weekend talk, and a little bit of the Olympics and kind of what our chances are now, especially after this type of weekend. And hopefully Ty, you know, the most professional UCI guy we have in the room, to tell us about how these Olympic point works and what we got to do to get to the top.
We're in trouble. I can tell you this, though. Coming out of Fayetteville, we went up to fourth as a country. So that was
really,
yeah, there was a points grab there. So that's pretty good. And we can't forget about Bjorn Riley. Like Bjorn's kind of the third person in that male category contributing points. But the thing is, he lives in Europe. So I kind of forgot about him, and I think his brother hopped on our page to remind us, because it's your top three athletes, right, that are gathering points in that year or that two-year build-in. And so we got focused on Chris and Riley because they're at US Cup. But if you notice, Bjorn almost won that thing in the U23, so he's super legit too. Yeah. So I don't even know, because the points are going to get reset on Tuesday, I think. And you got two wins. You got three podiums? I mean, that's, yeah.
I mean, let's rewind a little bit back to Fayetteville. Like, that was the whole reason why Riley came to do Fayetteville, was to get us the most points grab, right? And they set it up for that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had to break that U23 out of Saturday, because a rider may not gather points from two events in one day. So we had to split that off, allow him to race the U23 on Friday. Then he jumped into the elites and ended up winning that. And obviously I didn't get a chance to talk to Chris, but he vapored pretty hard. And so obviously he had some kind of just health issue or just a bad day. Because when you look at what he did today, I mean, yeah, he's firing on all cylinders. So I guess the only thing that was not perfect for those boys was going 1-2 on Saturday. Like, they went 1-2 on Wednesday, but they went to Brazil and yeah, they pretty much
tore it up.
Took names. Yeah, for sure. So
On Thursday when we were going to do our show and we royally messed up, I wouldn't, after you telling me the results of that, I don't think I would have said Blevins was going to win this weekend.
No, I would have thought top 10 would have been really good in that elite. And that thing's stacked. I mean, that's the opener, right? Everyone's pretty healthy. No one's hurt. Everyone's there. It's not – I feel bad, but when he won that one in Snowshoe a couple years ago, series final, I think there were some issues. I don't even know if the points leader was there. Was Fluken there? I don't know if the title was wrapped up. And then I remember Nino, Enrique, and maybe a couple had some flats. I mean, it's still a huge win. But, you know, everyone's kind of like, you got one. And then you kind of had a couple off years. But, I mean, he just straight up rode like a champ today. I mean, Koretsky and all those guys, Martin, all those guys are firing super hard. So, I mean, he's back. And, you know, you can kind of hear it in his talk out at the US Cups and stuff. I mean, says he feels good. I think he changed coaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it looks, so far so good, right?
I mean, yeah.
Those US Cup races seem to be priming the riders.
yeah, man. How do we get credit for that?
I just gave it to you.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're glad to be a part of it, right? Yeah. And obviously, I would love to play more of a role for US racers to sharpen themselves at home, before they
I
go
mean,
over
even
there.
Canadians. I mean,
Jen Jackson.
Jackson,
on
she got
fire.
10th. Yeah, she was
Jen's
on fire.
On fire. And so obviously that's kind of our goal. It would be to be a platform for them early season to go sharpen themselves, test the equipment by creating a legit series. And I don't know. Let's see if we can round up enough people in the States to back us.
Yeah. You know, just more money is what they say they need.
Unfortunately, so. that's really what it is. And I'm not even joking that it's money makes the world go around. And, you know, endemic sponsorship's been pretty hard last few years. And then this year, I think the bike industry's been crushed. You know, that Ozark Foundation is huge, right? I mean, they're pumping in millions out there, and that trickles down even to Temecula and stuff like that. So that's a big help, but you can't rely on one kind of group of people, one ecosystem. It's got to be coming from the governing body. I think it's got to come from endemics, non-endemics, stuff like that for the sport to be healthy. So,
if you are going for this, you know, obviously the Olympics and your Team USA right now, you have until Novia Mesto, right? Is that what you were saying?
So that's what I heard. But then on the live stream, like Bart or someone mentioned that it's done after Brazil. So I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's done after Brazil, but I don't see them pivoting like that. So I thought the rules were up until Novia Mesto was the last kind of cutoff point, but I'd love to get some clarification because I thought I heard that on the one of the announcers made a mistake and like, oh yeah, it's done after the second Brazil, but you never know if that's been changed. In my mind, I've been running around thinking Novia Mesto mid May was the cutoff. Maybe something changed.
Regardless, I feel like this weekend as a whole was a fantastic points grab for the Stars and Stripes. Man.
Unbelievable.
I think Blevins' win in Elite and Riley's win in U23 and the second with Bjorn.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that solidifies us as quite the hitter. And I don't think the U.S., all the women that did well, I mean Haley went down, but Sylvia second, Haley third, and then Kate,
had,
I think
you had Urban,
four.
Kelsey Urban's
Kelsey.
Back. She'd raced with us, and she's had some health problems. Eighth, Kate was
great.
10th.
Incredible. Yeah. When was the last time we had that many Americans in the top 10?
You boys are too young, but I feel like I just jumped in a time machine to like 95.
Exactly.
I'm
really?
Serious. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And it was Tomac, and it was Tinker, and it was Ned, and it was Rishi, and it was Julie, and it was Jimena Flor. I mean, it was all that kind of like when we own the sport, like we got a slight glimpse of it today. It's pretty exciting, I think. Like if you're a fan of mountain biking, not just an American fan, but if you're like just a fan, you're like, whoa, that is super exciting. So it was awesome, man. I had a good day on the couch.
And it's kind of interesting because like I would say, like for me, I always thought Blevins was just this really good technical rider. Maybe he just shined better at the really technical tracks. I don't even think this weekend was that technical of a track. He just muscled through it.
Well, he even said in that interview I did with him out at Vail, he goes, dude, this course is perfect because Vail's kind of fast, deserty, loose.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is perfect prep for Brazil. He would know. You know what I mean? So he's like, oh, this was great. And so that's kind of like, you know, Chris is very technical, but you don't get through this sport just on technique, right? Because it's not moto or downhill where you can kind of get away little lack of fitness because your line choice and skills override that. Like you can't fake fitness, and he's elite, and he's also super tech.
Fourth lap, he was 31 seconds behind.
I thought it was bad. I was like, oh man, rough start, you know, like maybe he didn't acclimate or whatever, but those guys, Martin, who just for Chile just moved up from the U23 was just drilling it. And I think it settled in there. And I think Chris just kind of, he said something like, hey, I'm just going to ride my own race. And he played his cards just right. When there's that little bit of ease up on the front group, he got on. And then once he was in the mix, he never let loose, man. He was like a pit bull. He just never let loose.
He was.
Yeah. Awesome. Did you see in the post-race interview how he was talking about how strange it was that the pace slowed down that much and allowed him to kind of come back up?
Yeah, no, he said that, and then the group swelled to like, because then the second guys dangling on got, that group got to what, 10, 12, maybe more there? Because they started sitting up. And so, then that's really gets technical, because now you got more guys like wanting to launch attacks, and that's harder to control. And super exciting race. I don't know that I've seen one that good in a long, long time. So stoked. Super good, man.
Team Specialized too, right there. Holy crap.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. No, I mean, they just destroyed it. So,
I mean, if it is Brazil and that is the thing, then I mean, there's really, we just need the coaster in pretty good next weekend, right?
I would think. Yeah, no. If the cutoff is now Brazil, and I wish someone out there knows more than me or all of us.
Hey, why is it so confusing? Like, I feel like this should be a lot easier, right?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think it's tied to the IOC, right? International Olympic Committee. So you got that whole Olympic movement. Then you got the governing body, which is based out of Switzerland. And I think the two of us kind of grew up in a different sport where moto's pretty simple, you know what I mean? And like, it's one governing body, it's here, we built the sport, we made the rules. And so it's kind of like, and there's no Olympics. So that's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I don't know, more simple, which, you know, I think we chatted on it before your computer blew up last week.
Stop.
But that's what's missing, right? Yeah. As an average fan, it's hard to follow points. The movement, who's what the series, it's because, you know, each C's worth 100 points, a C1's worth 60, this is World Cup's worth 300, like where does, you know, you can't do all that mental math from the couch or the bar stool, but you know, when you're watching, like, I don't even like ball sports, but I'm knowing like, oh yeah, man, if Kansas City kicks this in, field goal's worth three, they're going to win this thing.
Yeah,
they're going to have another beer. Right? Yeah. It's just simple. And you're not sitting there like, yeah, so if he gets, you know, okay, so this is an HC and he just won a C1 a week ago. I think that it, like, no one's doing that. And it's just way too complicated in my opinion, as a fan. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
You're with me.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, so then how does then... Since Pitcock's probably not going to show up to these two, but I'm sure he wants to go to the Olympics and XC.
So he's past champ, and I bet you they're guaranteed one.
Oh, really?
So he just won Amstel Gold. Like, he's on a – that little dude's on a whole nother level, too. Yeah. I mean, he just burned off Vanderpool and those guys. So it's
he's obviously guaranteed in a spot then. That's how it works?
I do not trust me on anything. I'm just shooting from the hip. But he's past Olympic champ. He's won – one world champs.
Yeah.
So I think he's got enough points for Great Britain. They're probably only going to send one, and it's not even debatable who to send. You know, they're going to send him over Aldridge.
Yeah,
And he'll find his fitness, because he's doing grand tours and stuff too. So he's kind of going to be the X factor in Paris. But other than Pidcock not being there, everyone was there. So And Great Britain's pretty high up. Let me look.
What about Vanderpool then? Or does he not even go back after his endo?
I think he's focusing on road this year. I think
not even worried about Olympics, XC.
Yeah, so look, Great Britain's in third.
Oh, and
it's Pidcock, Aldridge, and Cameron Orr. Yeah. So obviously they're gonna give the nod to Pidcock, reigning Olympic champ, reigning world champ, Amstel gold, you know what I mean? So I think he's kind of not even Pauline. Fran Prevot from France, the host country, gets two. And she's probably already got the nod. So Pauline wasn't in the women's race, right?
Yeah,
she's going home and training.
So then when they come here in 28, we get to put two for sure?
Automatic. Host country. Doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're in 30th or first, you'll get to do two athletes. So in 2028, we won't have this pressure to be inside the top 10, I think.
And then what is the advantage to having two? Does that seem like a dumb question? I mean, I guess
just another gate drop. You know, they get that as you saw today or in races in the past. Anybody, most of those guys, there's like 10 of those guys that can win at any given time. And let's say, just kind of spitting here, but like, Blevins could have a terrible day and Riley has a great day. So that's exactly. Something goes wrong. That just gives another person another opportunity to do well and to win. I mean, all of these people racing, dude, are like absolute animals and so talented and so fit that, it just takes a couple things to go right or a couple things to go bad for any of these guys to go from first to 30th.
And you may even be able to work as a team a little bit too, right? Because like, you know, you can maybe send a guy off or a girl off the front, and then now that gives the responsibility for another team to chase. I mean, mountain biking doesn't necessarily break down kind of like road, but Spencer nailed it. Somebody can have a bad day, but you can also play a little bit of team tactics. I mean, yeah. I feel like it wasn't too far ago. Like, I don't know what Olympics that was. Maybe it was Brazil that I think like the Swiss went 1-2-3 or something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, really?
And all of it. Yeah. They just dominated, you know what I mean? And so,
But then you see like today, Nino crashes and gets 28th or 32nd or whatever he got. Like, he's the winningest XC mountain biker of all time or whatever. And
yeah, they were saying it was
he's got a bad day, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, he's a freak, but in his own right. But we'll see if he can still hold up. But he's going to the Olympics, and if something like that happens to him again, kind of a bummer. And then like other guys like Peter Sagan could be like an outlier. The Brazil Olympics, he was in the lead group. He chased up the lead group, got a flat, chased back, got a flat. And like, who knows, if he didn't flat on that Brazil course, maybe he could have done well. But since Slovakia only has one guy, only can get one guy in there, he was their only opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they were saying too in the statistics, like what, like Nino, it's been 6 years since he's been out of the top 30 or something like that too. Today,
yeah, he hasn't had that bad.
That's wild.
Bad
to even think that number
ever. No, he's ever. Mr. Yeah. Consistency. Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess this looks even more and more. I mean, hopefully they do kind of change it to after Brazil. This puts us in even a better spot.
Yeah. No,
so 100%. I mean, holy shit. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be interesting. We'll have to check those results. And
So you're saying Tuesday we'll actually know like what place we're in. I mean, how far off are we from passing to third then?
I think we are. Let's see. We're about, Tommy P, as I call him, Tommy Pidcock, and is at they're at 32.99, and we're at 32.28. So what do you got there? Not much in it. You got about 70 points.
We'd have to pass that after this weekend, right?
Yeah, we blew Great Britain apart, I would think.
Yeah.
The only thing that they really did well at was Evie, right? Who won short track.
Yep.
And it's combined women and men's points?
Dude, great question. When I'm hitting the points here, I would think they would break it out by male and female.
Because how do we decide for the
so Switzerland's leading it with 51-48, and when I'm on the site, it's Flukinger, Schurter, and Lars Forrester is their top three gaining points.
So then it is.
They got a whole women's squad with probably
Yolanda.
Yeah, exactly. Yolanda and whoever else is on there. So I imagine they break it out, Austin, because our women sent three. The year of Tokyo, our women are really strong because it's usually, I'm guessing.
After this weekend, we got four in the top 10. I mean, Jesus.
I bet you it's like Kate, Haley, and Sevilla. Maybe it's Gwen 1 year grabbing points. So, interesting. But on here, it appears, how about I just try women elite? That'll help. There you go. France is leading it.
Okay, really?
France is leading it. I bet you watch. It's Pauline wasn't there.
For sure.
Yeah. Loana LeConte and Garnet. So
she at this weekend.
I didn't hear. I don't even know if they may not see. They may have just said, why travel to Brazil? It's hot, humid. We're guaranteed a spot on the Olympics. Let's stay home and train.
We're first in points.
Yeah, right. They're first and host country.
So when it comes around to the Olympic year like that is right now going on, it kind of blows my mind. It'd be like in motocross being this weird, like, oh, the nations is coming up. We're just fuck everything else. We're going to really just focus on that. It seems wild to me, these guys will do that. These women too.
Yeah, no, cycling's different than moto where those guys are going all year long, but look at our new generation of athletes. They're so fried from supercross and outdoors. A lot of them now are like, and they're not like O'Mara and Wardy and those.
Yeah,
guys.
They won't even go to the nations.
They're like, we don't even want to go. Send Christian Hampshire and call yeah. Zach Osborne. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because and so these athletes, cyclists, are really more selective. And to be quite honest, that's why you saw a lot of the top females from the U.S. skip Fayetteville. It was an HC, paid way more points, but their whole thing was, we're going to Brazil, we're going to ride that C1, we're going to acclimate, we want to see the course. They're going to do what they're going to do. And so it's a little more tactful, I think, than kind of the moto crowd, for sure.
And the Olympics as it is, I feel like if moto per se was in the Olympics, people would care a lot more for that, to go to that, because the Olympics only happens every 4 years. It's so much more. There's just so much more pride and like everything that goes along with it. It's a big deal. The U.S. doesn't, I don't think, pay that well, but a lot of other countries, like, they care about it, man. If you go to the Olympics, you are like a full-on celebrity in many ways.
Full celebrity status. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. You, and then you win or you medal. Yeah. You've just cemented yourself among the greats in there. And,
Because there's no purse to win, right?
I think there is.
There's probably a person, but they're the countries. I know that the U.S. has incentives, and I'm going to throw a number out there. I'll make something up. It might be worth $50K.
Oh, yeah, really? I think it's 30.
Yeah, no, and it could be less, could be more now. I don't know.
Oh, I had nothing.
There are some incentives on the line too,
but only different. Like, because I heard the ones that did the BMX or whatever, they were talking about how they just didn't make anything.
So all U.S. gold medalists, if you win a gold medal at the Olympics, you get $37,500. Okay. Silver is 22.
There you go.
22,500 and 15,000 for bronze. The nations, depending on what nation you're from, that varies, but that is the current U.S. payment.
And that's paid U.S. process. That's anything. If you're throwing a ball or
anything. If you're doing shot put and you win a gold medal, you come home with 37 G.
So then that's our country paying that.
Yeah.
The government. Okay. Yep. And then do you get on top of that with USA Cycling something as well?
No. I don't think so.
No. Wow. Okay. Well, that changes things a little bit. I thought that there was no, that's why in my mind, I thought it was like donations. Everything's shit on the line. So why are these guys risking?
No, it's so much bigger than the donations though. Yeah, Austin.
I get it. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying it's really confusing to me a little bit, you know?
I believe, like Spencer said, there is some cash on the line along with the prestige, and then it's once every 4 years too.
It's just a little
bit different, but no, there's definitely a lot of line. And then I bet you that there's bonuses from manufacturers they ride for making the Olympics and then meddling. So yeah, there's a lot on the line other than just pride too. So
just making it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would argue that the Olympics is probably the most prestigious sporting event like of all time. It's been going on forever, and only 2-3 people, whatever, per sport are getting selected a year. I mean, there's thousands of people that would love to be on the U.S. swim team or something, and they pick 4 people or whatever, 4 per event or whatever. I mean, I think, the stakes are so high, and it's such an honor to go represent your country at the highest level against the best of other nations. And I think, dude, that holds so much in itself to go do that. I think, for most competitors, if you had the opportunity to go to the Olympics, you'd be like, absolutely. Yeah. Whereas
for sure,
if you get the opportunity to be a motocross nations guy, doesn't really do much for you. It happens every year. You're not getting paid anymore. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're some hero if you go win it.
Motocross nations, if USA doesn't go, that no one, that doesn't really matter as much.
Exactly.
Let's be real. You know. So where it, so it's at Paris, but what course did they decide to be? Have they announced it yet?
I'm sure they have. I think they've even done a test event, Austin, but you're asking the wrong guy. I'm like, I got 1 foot in event promotion and 1 foot in a bunch of other stuff.
Hey, you guys, it's so prestige. We're just more worried about 28 here in LA. All right. Let's just be real.
Yeah, for sure.
And them coming here.
Cause someone,
I am. I don't even know if I'm not shooting it or whatever it is. I'd like to go. I don't even, are you, how does the general public go to one of those?
That's a great question. But they did have a test event, and I forgot who won it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, they've already had a mountain bike test event, I bet.
Oh, but it's not like a course that's on the circuit usually for over there.
No, it's gets built, and then they always run a test event like a year out or something.
Yeah, exactly. They build this just for it for the Olympics. It's called Ellen Court Hill is the venue that they're doing it at now, which is just north of Paris.
So I think it was Koretsky, Cooper, Anton, and Schurter that won men's elite test event. There you go.
Yeah.
We're live on the fly. And then LeConte, Stigler, and Pauline.
Wow.
Top three in the women.
Okay.
Haley was fourth.
Haley did it.
Yeah. Rizvedz was there. Jen Jackson was 10th. So this is way back in September, I think, of 2023. Yeah, no, that course is been vetted and stuff. They usually do it.
So then, then explain it for me. Obviously, doing it here at Benelli, it'll be done a year early.
Yep.
So like,
well, if they do it at Benelli, is that a thing?
I think it's for sure. I don't know how they would pivot for four years to go. Where would they go? Vail, where else possibly, would they go? But I mean, Vail would have to invest so much. Yeah, it's a little far. It's a couple hours out of town, but
yeah, this just out. It's going to Rocky Peak Enduro. Yeah.
I don't know. They might throw it in. They might throw it in Griffith Park or something.
Really?
You almost could. Small and they're so manufactured. I don't know why they wouldn't.
It would be pretty insane there.
They should. Yeah. I don't. Benelli doesn't strike me. I mean, you can do anything with money, but Benelli, when we ran it there, I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't. I mean, I don't know. But again.
So let's just say they choose Benelli and that's the one or whatever. So like me and Spencer and you can go ride it in a year. Like, do they close it down? Is it open?
I think they would have to tear that back down. That's a county public park. You've got hiking, you've got equestrians, I don't think it just lives there.
No, for sure.
There's graffiti on all the drops and everything.
Right. And then you go snap your collarbone on a drop and then sue the county. So
holy shit. So they're going to actually, I mean, you're bringing in rocks, you're bringing in drops, you're bringing in all that shit, and then tear it all back down.
I'm guessing.
100%. I know for sure. I was lucky enough to do, thanks to Steven Ettinger, a while ago, I did a test event on the Brazil Olympic cross-country course the BMX course, actually.
Killing.
And they were just finishing it when we were racing. It changed the way it actually looked by the time the Olympics came, but it was gnarly. It was full of all these like manufactured log rolls and rock gardens and stuff. And fully manufactured course. And I know the week after the Olympics, it was flat. They pulled it all out. Yeah. Just pulled everything out. All the infrastructure, all the bleachers, all the logs
course
and rocks
obstacles,
and stuff.
Everything.
Gone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a one.
I just don't
done.
Even see where they're going to fucking park everyone up.
No, I know.
And you can't even park nearby.
They're going to have to shuttle people in. Yeah, they're going to have to shuttle people
in. Can we get heli flights in? Just
drop? No. Benelli has spots because they have the whole water park. No? I feel there's some space to park there.
Yeah, but the park's packed in August.
Yeah, they'll
you're going to shut down Raging Waters? I mean, you could.
I
would
say.
They're going to want some money.
And I bet you they'll spend it.
Hey, but with money, you can go pave a parking lot anywhere. Yeah. They'll just go across the street. Sure. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of open land. They'll just create lots.
Oh, you must have not messed with California politics then.
No, but well, Olympics are different, dude.
Different. They bid on it to get it here. Yeah. They'll go ahead and, that SKR rat that was protected a couple months ago.
Gone.
Bulldoze that thing.
Go ahead. Sorry, Spencer.
I was just going to say, I know that they're investing a ton of money into trying to better the infrastructure here in Los Angeles. They're building a tram.
That's crazy.
Building a tram out of LAX because traffic's so bad, and they're going to shuttle via tram out of that place. They're building new parking lots, new sporting venues and stuff. Like, they're just putting in a new soccer stadium for the Olympics. Yeah. Like, there's going to be a lot of stuff, and I think we got 4 years.
I'm going to put an ADU in the backs for the Olympics so I can rent that out and pay for
my house. You
probably
should. Honestly,
do it.
Yeah,
do it.
It's on my mind. The U.S. government, I mean, state of California, whatever. They bid for that, like Ty was saying. They wanted it here, and they've been trying to fight for it, and they kept losing.
Yeah, they ain't going to spare no expense, and they're going to – yeah, they'll look other the way on some policies that they ran into it. You know what I mean?
So we could – but what we're saying is that it go bump. I guess what I'm looking at is I'm just going to get a cool mountain bike park that I'm going to get ripped away from me afterwards.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It's not going to be much of a mountain bike park. It's going to be an XC course and a BMX track, and that's about it.
Will they put the BMX right there too?
They'll put it somewhere. They'll build it just for this.
So you don't think they'll use Chula Vista?
No, it's too far.
No, too far?
Really?
Yeah, I think it's not Los Angeles. I think it's got to be.
Well, like, I think.
I heard in Tokyo they were doing stuff like that.
Well, Tokyo, China, like, was way out in the boonies on some stuff.
Oh, really? I thought it had to be within a radius.
I could be wrong, but
it'd be like 3 hours past from Tokyo. Yeah. Yeah,
past Olympics, there were some stuff, which is why, you know, Vail could technically work or something. I mean, you're not going to do it in New York or Vermont, but within the state of California and around the Los Angeles region, you could consider Chula Vista 2-3 hour drive. You'd house people down there for BMX and stuff.
Well, if that is the Olympic training center down there, but. And if that were the case, I bet you they try to keep all the bike stuff down there. I bet you they do road or something.
I don't even know where the road course is.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be sick to do it in the Santa Monica Mountains.
What are our points looking like for road?
Dude, don't even ask. I don't even know.
I barely know. Well, it's a confusing process. Like, this is fucking insane. Like, someone makes a website to make it simpler, I feel like.
I think that is like pretty straightforward. I think that you get like three people regardless. Something like that. Yeah. I think it's a little less structured because they have to have a field of like 120 men for that. So I don't know. But they do time trial. They do everything. All right.
Well, good info. Now I know some more stuff that I did not know, and looks good for Team USA. So
yeah, no, it's definitely looking good for the women. Have always looked good, but the men after this week, man, I mean, they look like real players. So let's
something see in the water in Brazil or something, man. Hopefully they keep this going.
And Durango. So
yeah, exactly.
Dude, I've always said that about Durango, though. Something's weird, man. What is going on with that? Why do we have some of our best to come out of there?
I think it's culture. I think it's mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what Christopher was saying.
I think it's all mindset. Like, I mean, how would Switzerland, with a population of, what do they have? 6 to 10 million, right?
Yeah.
And they constantly produce some of the top cyclists in the world, especially in mountain bike. I think it's just the culture there. And then, you know, when you're a kid in the U.S., it's like you can make way more doing golf, baseball, and all that. Cycling's not even that attractive, but... Yeah. I think they develop the kids early in Durango. I think it's kind of an outdoor kind of like atmosphere there versus, you know, growing up in the city. Not that you can't be successful from the city, but
you ride straight from in town there to proper climbs, everything.
Everything. Yeah. I think it's all there. You're at altitude. I mean, I just think there's a lot of good stuff where they're just building. That's like the new. That's not the new champion factory. That always has been. I mean, you had Ned and I think all those guys were from there.
Tomac's
not far. I think that's another thing. You go to a coffee shop or whatever, go get lunch, and there's a good chance that you'll run into one of those guys that are heroes in the mountain bike community.
Well, they'd have a Tuesday. It's been a while since I've talked to like Todd Wells, and he's from there. It's like Todd's like probably one of the most successful mountain bikers of all time, like 4-time Olympian. I don't know if it's a Tuesday or Wednesday night crit, but it was basically like a mini Worlds. At that point in time, if Todd was in town, Ned's there, you know, guys from the road scene, if they're off the, you know, off the tour or whatever they're doing. And so you just got quality, and like iron sharpens iron. There's just no way about it. And so when you surround yourself with those people and then you put yourself in the fire, it forges good athletes. And, you know, that's kind of what they got.
I mean, Spencer, when you grew up, cause you won, I mean, I feel like you probably had ambitions to be where Blevins at or something like that, because you were racing it a little bit. Did you know about Durango? Was like Durango like in motocross, Florida's like the place you want to go and train. MTF was like, oh, we got to go to MTF.
I don't know, dude. I'm an outlier. I got into it so late. I just kind of fell into it and didn't know what mountain biking really even was. And I was already 17 when I started riding, and I just kind of put my head down and I was breaking shit. And Ty was like, dude, you can't ride this thing like a dirt bike. I'll never forget that, man.
Really? You told him that, Ty?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No way.
No. So no. Here's what's funny is when I first got into mountain biking and I was blowing shit apart, Johnny was like kind of working with me, Omar, and he's like, dude, you can't be fucking riding this like a dirt bike. Cause like he'd see me walking in from Fontana. What'd you do? Yeah, dude, I just hit the backside on that drop so hard, just blew the tire off the rim. He's like, what are you doing? And then Spencer had a little bit of that too. So I basically was just going full Johnny O on him. Like, hey dude, you got to learn to ride it different. You can't just smash stuff on a mountain bike. There's a little bit of finesse and stuff, and I learned that from Johnny O for sure. And so when I was kind of working with Spencer early on, he loved it. He was a little too smashy, and I'm like, hey dude,
too smashy. He's
on the right bikes.
He's on the right bikes. You know what I mean?
He's doing videos, so I get it. But like, you can't get smashy on that. You need to be light and technical.
Yeah.
And it took me years to kind of figure that out. And that was a Johnny O thing. So I just figured, hey man, it was used on me. I'll use it on Spencer.
Yeah, I remember it, dude. I remember doing the same thing at Fontana, making that walk back along the fence line and being like, just mother effing. We're pissed.
I've done it all, dude.
Yeah, and I'd come back and you'd be like, what are you doing, man? How'd you break your pedal? I'm like, I don't even know.
I mean, because you gotta get that mentality real quick, else you're gonna be giving away a lot of opportunities. You know, not just finishes, but just opportunities to win, to be successful, and they're not unlimited. So the sooner you can start learning to protect your equipment. And that's one of the biggest things I learned from Johnny for sure. Cause he was just so, I mean, he was finesse on the moto too. He was never really, I would call a smasher. Like he wasn't Barnett or Ricky, but really that style super translated to mountain bikes. Like when I rode for him, you know, not for him, but with him when I was first getting into the sport, like, dude, he was just so technical and smooth and he could climb stuff that I would be walking. Cause he could just find traction and just weight the bike. And he was a master. He still is, and so that's
I got an e-bike and I don't care.
I got to pass it on to Spencer, and I try to pass it on to the kids I coach now. I don't know if they listen to me just yet, but it's definitely something I still preach for
they
sure.
They got Cush Core now, man. We good.
Yeah, Cush Core. Just smash it and dad will buy a new carbon set of wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's free wheel replacement with most of these brands now. So
that is true. So yeah, do that.
I mean, I might lose the race, but I'm getting a free rim.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, cool, you guys. I don't know. Anything else we want to dig into? I feel like a good little test here, good little talk about Olympics.
I think it's good. We'll check in on those points. And then, man, they roll into Brazil. So hopefully they can keep the momentum. And if I can I'll reach out to some people on Monday. If I get any confirmation that it's these first two Brazil rounds count and that Nove Mesto doesn't, and if I can kind of clarify some of the stuff we've said, just so we're not passing along misinformation, I'll do my best. Otherwise, we're just kind of shooting from the hip on a Sunday here. But
yeah, but either way, I mean, it's been a while since a U.S. male has gotten 250 points in a weekend. He probably got more than that, but the other ones.
Was the last one to do that, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Snowshoe?
Would make it count on a weekend that we need it for the Olympics, right?
Because I don't think we could have done any better, man, to be honest. Riley doubled down. Chris
125.
Wins.
Two 125s, actually. He left for 250 as well.
So, actually, with that being said, I want to hear what you would think, Ty. How do you think that those boys, Riley and Bjorn, will do against the big dogs? I mean, obviously we just saw that Riley can hang at the Fayetteville race.
Yeah.
But you think that those U23 guys are ready?
Yeah. No, I think they'll be pretty close. Maybe there'll be a little bit of learning curves. The thing is Riley's so superior to the U23s here in the States.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think Bjorn races here much.
Yeah.
Like he can kind of, you know, toy with him a little bit. And then when he races Chris again here in the States, the field's not that deep. Yeah. So he's able to match Chris and see Chris early. And when you start throwing in Koretsky, yeah, and you start throwing in Nino and Flukinger and Saruz and like Gaze, and you start, you know what I mean?
It's, you're like lighting candles all over the place, right, just trying to make like a corner, right? Three.
It,
yeah.
It's kind of like my life, like a local race when it was only me and, you know, a top national guy, but there's only 12 of you and you could see him. Yeah. No problem. Sometimes you can get on his wheel, yeah, and then, okay, go do it with 40 guys out at Glen Helen. Yeah. It's like, oh, I never saw him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so he may, but you know what? I mean, the confidence has to be brimming, like over the top for those two,
yeah,
and their fitness and stuff. And they got this whole year to learn and build. I don't see where they'll, won't take too long to kind of establish themselves. I mean, look at Martin, who was fifth from Chile. He was U23. I think he's still 22 years old, but decided to move up last year because he was pretty much like unbeatable the last couple of years. And so you saw Martin driving the pace is kind of, I mean, he might even played his cards wrong a little bit and may have wanted to settle down. I mean, he still got fifth, but maybe shot a couple more bullets and could have been there at the end. So,
oh, he was just scared after XCC. In a fight afterwards.
Oh, did he?
Did you not see the whole drama?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I guess he like cut off Voroski or I can't even say his last name, but Victor, and then and afterwards they had some words. It was on the broadcast too.
So his own teammate?
Oh, his own teammate. Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, he's young, you know what I mean, enthusiastic. And so I think controlling their emotions will be probably their biggest thing, you know, not just wasting bullets and stuff and learning to race kind of crafty. Like I think Chris is a lot more crafty. And so, but to answer your question, I mean, from what I've seen, it looks like Bjorn and Riley Amos are going to step right in there. And I think they'll be right in the mix for sure.
Sick. Yeah. That's awesome. Future, I mean, look bright, man.
Yeah. It looks good, man. I'm stoked.
Like, looks great.
What a great day of racing.
Yeah. Looks good for U.S. cycling in general. Just
John Tomek stoked right
guys
now.
Oh, yeah. Johnny T, Tinker, all those guys. Ned.
Text him after this one right now.
Yeah. Like, hey, man. I mean, they got to be pumped. So
yeah.
Let's hope they keep it rolling.
Yeah. So then we'll just have to pick. How does it decided who you pick for your second? Obviously Blevins is going to be our first, right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of arbitrary, meaning it's kind of up to the federation. I don't know if other federations have rules.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Haley out at Vail, and I thought she said a podium in Brazil got you a ticket to the Olympics. So if that's the case, she's cashed a ticket along with Sevilla.
Oh, really?
I think. Like that was one of the things. But what happens if Kate bounces back next weekend and grabs one? Then what do you do? I think they start looking maybe more like, okay, having to back out and go, who's been consistent for the last
How can you pick right now? Like, I would say the women's field, like, how do you pick right now? I mean, the men, obviously, you're sitting in Blevins. And then
obviously,
we have to figure out who our number two is. And that's the battle. It's the same thing going on in the women's. But in the women's, though, we're talking about who we're going to send as our first best because, I mean, right now you could be looking hot, but what are we going to be looking like when Olympics rolls around? You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. Even from, let's say the May cutoff is true still. You got May, you've got June, you've got July. Like someone can get sick, injured, fall apart. So I'm sure someone's on reserve, but yeah, I think if I understood Haley right, a podium or a top five punched a ticket for you. Yeah, it's kind of arbitrary. I think the committee sits down and there's three or four on a board that sit there and kind of say, you know what, these people have met this criteria, and then we feel this is, you know, the two athletes that are kind of running the best right now. So,
All right,
so it's going to be tough. You know, the women are going to be real tough, and then I think you got to give Riley the nod just because he's. I mean, Bjorn's right there, but Riley beat him heads up again. And I think Riley is kind of our top U23. And so I would guess Riley would get that nod if I had to guess.
I guess we'll see, right? I mean,
and we're about to find out because it's getting dicey.
Do they have to announce it like their team, or do they wait all the way until we just know when we get there?
No, I think that they'll announce it at some point.
Okay.
And I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they like can announce like three or four. If there's two spots, what do they call it when you're like just you could go in if something were to happen to one of the other guys? An alternate, I think.
Yeah, an alternate.
Yeah.
For sure. Because like look, Bjorn's currently ranked 49th, right? And if you go to Riley, and this doesn't include this weekend, I don't think. Riley's ranked 13th. So if you just went by World Cup rankings, I mean, Riley's 19th is Blevins. Riley's ahead of Blevins, but Blevins really? Is kind of senior elite. So he gets the nod.
Is that right? Why would he be ahead of him? It's just because he's won more of the U23 and the points have stacked up that way?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. That's exactly right. So if you just went by that, Riley would actually probably get the nod, but Chris has already been to one. Chris races elite, and it is probably a little bit deeper in the elite, right, to get points than it is in the U23. But hey, if we have a chance to send two, I think Riley's the no-brainer, and that's not discrediting Bjorn because Bjorn's riding lights out right now too.
Yeah, he threw it down on that.
No, he threw it down.
He was coming. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision. And I think if you go to the women, you know, it's probably something similar on the women's side too. It's like, you know, Sevilla may be winning or it may be, you know, Haley. I don't even know who's, I'll tell you who's there. Let's look.
Yeah.
We got some players. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, honestly, it is. Compared to years past, right? Like,
well, check it out. So in the top three, it's Kate, Blunk, and Gwen. Haley's not even there because I think she had a bad year last year. So maybe that podium in Brazil was USA's out to, because, and Gwen just busted her shoulder up too, unfortunately. But Haley had a bad year, but maybe that provision when she was telling me, I think it was a top five or a podium in Brazil,
helped
got
solidify
you a ticket.
It for her.
That was a provision to get Haley in there who had a bad year. Because right now it's Kate, Sevilla, and Gwen, who are our top three to quote-unquote gather points.
I guess it's good that we're, as a team, able to decide and not just have a point. I mean, nothing against Kate, but Kate hasn't been really doing it lately, you know?
No, so Kate's 10th. Sevilla's 12th, and I bet you Gwen's farther back. Gwen's 15th. Because I think Haley had some issues last year, maybe an injury or some illnesses. She didn't really have that great of a year, but she bounced back. And I think, Austin, you were talking about that. You really want to send the riders are kind of running the hottest leading in.
Yeah,
it's kind of not what you did 6 months ago or last season. I mean, you can look back on that, but you kind of got to send the people that are running good. And to me, it looks like Sevilla and Haley are really, really, really firing right now for sure.
On all cylinders.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Anything else? We'd miss anything? I feel like we covered a lot of it, right?
No, dude, I think we're jamming. I think we're looking good. And next week's going to be exciting and stuff like that. So stay tuned and let's see where
another topic. Ty, what's the next big thing for you?
I go back into motorsports coaching. I'm going to be up in your area. I got a flat track, American flat track in Ventura, and then I've got Laguna Seca. So I got Moto America with JD in July. So I put the coaching hat back on, which I'm kind of pumped with. Like I'm kind of saturated with bicycle stuff right now, so I need.
Yeah, you got them in your room and everything up there.
Yeah, exactly. I love riding and stuff, but man, I'll tell you that event promotion will wear you down. And then, so I kind of get that. But I'm also, you know, have some talks with some of our shareholders on what 2025 could look like. Like, are we going to try to put a cohesive series together? Are we going to expand the U.S. Cup? Can we find some more supporters? Do we, you know, scaled down. So yeah, lot of stuff kind of going on. So yeah, I'll be busy this summer, but just wearing a bunch of different hats. But I'll let you guys know as soon as I know on mountain bike stuff if I can announce
out mowing Chino Hills for some trails for us to ride.
Yeah, dude, I was just out there. It's that purple thistle is taking over everything. It's done. Park is done. Park is done. No. I can't believe it. Yeah, I went out with one of the kids I coach because I hadn't been out there in about a month.
Yeah,
it's ruined. I'm like, oh, it's man. Ruined. It's that road bike back there that's getting a lot of time because I'm not bushwhacking at my age. I'm done.
I don't blame you. Yeah, what about you, Spencer? We obviously got Sea Otter coming up, but
oh yeah, Otter.
Sea Otter. Just full trying bore. To.
You racing? You hanging? You're both?
Yeah, I'm actually doing something with Specialized, and Austin's filming it.
Okay.
With the new Epic Evo, and sweet. I'm racing four disciplines on one bike. With only changes we're making is a tire change. So I'm racing XC, Enduro, Dual Slalom, and Downhill.
That's rad.
All one bike. I mean, I'm gonna do as well as I can and try to be competitive in everything. I don't know how I'm going to do, but we're going to try to be as far up as we can and everything and just exhaust myself.
Yeah. That downhill's pretty pedally. I mean, it's legit, but it's still really pedally. I mean, it's not like you're at Linzerheiden or something, just dropping off 40% stuff. I mean, it's,
honestly, I think Spencer would do better at that though.
Probably would slow it down, but I don't know. It seems like Spencer's pretty fit, kind of pedally. Have you ridden that thing yet?
Yeah, I've been riding it a fair bit. I just got back from a ride or an attempt at a ride, but it's been raining. So
I know. You like it?
Yeah, honestly, it's like my daily driver now. It is super capable and pedals like super well, and has a little bit more power with the brakes and a little more aggressive geo, so you can ride slightly gnarlier stuff.
What
setting
are you running on that fork? Like I was talking to BG, but someone that talked to BG, and it's like, oh, one's pretty good. Look, maybe too mushy for some people. Two's this. Like, you got to set
it. So I'm running it in the middle, the middle headset setting, and then I'm on the 34, Fox 34 at 130.
Oh, you're on a Fox, so you don't have that. Whatever that's
the flight attendant or whatever.
Yeah,
no flight that's attendant? So that's just on the full XC bike.
Oh,
yeah, that's on the Epic 8. The
one you're not running the Epic 8 then.
I'm running it's the same frame, just more slightly more aggressive. It's got a little different link, and then a little more travel, and then it has SRAM code brakes on it. So it's basically it's similar. It's just meant to handle a little bit more.
So what do you got? 130.
Yeah, 130 up front, 120 in the rear. And,
oh, you'll be fine on that downhill then.
Yeah, right? You'll be fine.
It's definitely. I was doing some like timed runs on it the other day, just at local trails and pushing as hard as I can. And it's gonna be fine, but it's gonna take everything for that bike, like pushing it at high speeds on the downhill. But whatever, it is what it is. The downhill course is the first stage of the enduro. The other two stages of the enduro are on the XC course, so it's super pedally, super physical. So I'll have some gains there. The pedal efficiency will be great, and then the fourth stage is the dual slalom. So it's a small bike, super snappy. It should be okay on the dual slalom. I've raced dual slalom on my regular stump jumper in the past and get the job done. Just a little more pressure in the fork and shock and tires, and let's go racing.
You're badass. Well, good luck next week. And man, I'll catch you boys. And hopefully Brazil round two goes just as well. We'll be sitting pretty.
Seriously. Yeah.
I hope to be having the same conversation here in a week or whatever.
Yeah. That'd be great. Race recap too.
Well, we're going to get Blevins on to talk about that high post this weekend. No dropper. Just ran.
He's not scared, is he?
Yeah.
I love it.
Doesn't want to carry the extra 300 grams.
It's important.
I love it.
It is. He just won a World Cup. So
apparently it works.
Yeah. Apparently it works. Yeah. Right on, boys.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate everyone.
Yep. I'll catch you. See you
later.
Later, guys.